Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. The time now is exactly 25 minutes past the hour of 10. I am Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host until 11 a.m. until 12 a.m. Till 12 this morning. And we will be hosting the panel discussion. Alhamdulillah, we are coming towards faster and faster towards the month of Ramadan. And amongst the different ibadah that go on in the month of Ramadan, the one that is very important and happens on a daily basis, the Taraweeh Salah. Today my host, my guest I have is Mufti Shafiq Jakura. Mufti, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners of Radio Islam as well this morning.
Mufti Zaf, how are you this weekend?
Alhamdulillah, wa the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mufti Zaf, please share with us a brief history of the Taraweeh Salah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-mursaleen, Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shahru Ramadan al-lazhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, wa qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shahru ja'ala Allah siyamahu fariidah wa qiyama laylatihi tatawu'an. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. I would like to thank at the outset Radio Islam for selecting this very important topic which deals with the performing of the Taraweeh Salah, which deals with such an important aspect of the month of Ramadan. It is indeed one of the salient features of the month of Ramadan, the other being the fast during the day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a very lengthy hadith which is narrated by Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us on the day before the month of Ramadan, the last day of Sha'ban. And he said to us that a very great month is about to dawn upon you. And amongst other things, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fasting fard and obligatory. So fasting during the day is obligatory, and then the ummah stands up at night in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of the Taraweeh Salah. And this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, is a voluntary act of ibadat, which is a salient feature of the month of Ramadan. And it is classified by the fuqaha, by the jurists, as sunnat or sunnat-e muakkada, an emphasized sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in terms of the history behind the Taraweeh Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was none other than he himself who performed the Taraweeh Salah first in Masjid al-Nabawi ala sahibi salatu wassalam. In Masjid al-Nabawi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself performed the Taraweeh Salah, and a group of Muslims of the group of the Sahaba performed Taraweeh Salah behind him. And this happened for one night. Then the next night, an even greater group, larger group of Sahaba gathered, because then by then the Sahaba were speaking amongst themselves, and a larger group of Sahaba gathered to perform the Taraweeh Salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the third or fourth night, when this happened, on the third night, it was again an even larger group, and on the fourth night, if I'm not mistaken, it was such a large crowd that the masjid could not contain the number of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in who had come to perform the Taraweeh Salah behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So and on the fourth night, when all these people were gathered there, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not emerge from his Mubarak dwelling until the Fajr Salah happened. Until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then performed the Fajr Salah with the people, and then he turned around there and he said to them that the reason why I did not emerge today was out of fear of making it difficult for my ummah, because if I would have continued, then there was a possibility that the Taraweeh Salah would have been made fard and obligatory upon you, and you would not have been able to complete it. Therefore, on that particular occasion, on the fourth night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not emerge from his house, showing to the ummah that it is not an obligatory act like the obligatory acts of the Fajr Salah, the Zuhr Salah, the Asr, Maghrib and Isha Salah. Rather, it is a voluntary act of ibadat which has been emphasized by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is one which he encouraged tremendously. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith that man qama ramadana imana wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. The person who performs Taraweeh Salah at night during the month of Ramadan, throughout the month of Ramadan, with two things, with iman in his Rabb, with iman in the Akhirat, with iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the things that go with iman. So he performed the Taraweeh Salah throughout the month of Ramadan with that, and ihtisaba, with the hope of gaining reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of this person's sins. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. Whatever sins he committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive it. Then there are, Mawlana and the listeners of Radio Islam, there are other narrations as well with regards to the Taraweeh Salah, in which it has been mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerged from his home during the month of Ramadan, and some Sahaba were performing Salah behind Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is such a great and noble Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Ubay that, O Ubay ibn Ka'b, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked me to ask you to recite a surah to me. I don't recall offhand which surah it was, but Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so pleased that he started crying and tearing, and he said, Allahu sammani, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take my name? He was so pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have taken his name in the gathering of the angels. So Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a sahabi who was a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, and he was very, very melodious in his recitation of the Holy Quran. So he was leading some sahaba in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and others were performing salah behind him. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the narration, states that he asked, what is happening? So someone responded to him and said that these people who are performing salah behind him, they do not know the Quran off by heart, they are not hafizas of the Quran. So Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a hafiz of the Holy Quran, he is leading them in the Taraweeh Salah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only approved but condoned and appreciated this initiative of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum in as far as the Taraweeh Salah is concerned. So that was the very early history of the Taraweeh Salah, and of course after them the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and for 14 centuries, it's the 15th century going on, and Taraweeh Salah is performed during the month of Ramadan throughout the world, in the Haramain, in different parts of the world, in our little country in South Africa, in all the masajid, in the musallas, in the jamaat khanas, in people's garages, in people's homes, because it is a salient feature of the holy month of Ramadan. And this is the history, the short little brief history of the Taraweeh Salah, and it is something that we all need to start preparing ourselves physically and mentally to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perform Taraweeh Salah with dedication, with concentration, with humility. Stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and draw from His great treasures that are going to be dished out during the month of Ramadan. Before we continue, perhaps it may also be apt and appropriate to mention what Taraweeh means. So the Taraweeh Salah, it comes, it is the plural of the word Tarweeha. Tarweeha actually means a rest. A rest after four rakats. So it's the plural of that. So because during the time of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there used to be a rest after every four rakats of Taraweeh. And therefore, the name Taraweeh, that is one of the reasons why it was called Taraweeh Salah. The other reason was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself would get a lot of rest when it came to performing and communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, he says to Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Oh Bilal, pour out the azan and grant us peace and tranquility through the azan so we can quickly start communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So these are the two reasons why Taraweeh Salah is called Taraweeh Salah, because we have a break after every four rakats of the Taraweeh Salah.
Ji Maulana, what is the position of the Taraweeh Salah and the importance of performing it? What is the importance of performing Taraweeh Salah, and what is the position of the Taraweeh Salah in today's day?
The position of the Taraweeh Salah, number one, is it is a salient feature of the holy month of Ramadan. It is a sha'air, what we refer to in Arabic as a shi'ar of the holy month of Ramadan. Like I mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, جَعَلَ قِسْيَامَهُ فَرِيضًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the fasting during the month of Ramadan a farz. And he has made the qiyam, standing up in Taraweeh Salah, he has made it voluntary. So it is not correct to raise the status of the Taraweeh Salah to the status of being obligatory or farz or absolutely necessary, to the extent that if a person doesn't do it, then he is out of the pale of Islam, or he rejects it, he's out of the pale of Islam. That will be going to one extreme. And the same is that the person becomes so lax in it that he doesn't worry about the Taraweeh Salah at all, then he is depriving himself of goodness. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person who is a deprived person is one who is deprived of the goodness of the month of Ramadan. So if a person is not going to do it, then he is depriving himself of the goodness of the month of Ramadan. And therefore, we have to attach a degree of importance to the Taraweeh Salah. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he himself did it, the Sahaba did it, the Tabi'een did it, the Ummah for the last 15 centuries, or slightly less than that, has been doing it, then it is important for us to also uphold this great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a sunnah al-mu'akkada, an emphasized sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we should not allow to be foregone without any dire necessity. If a person is sick, he's ailing, he can't stand up and perform the Taraweeh Salah, then at least try and sit and perform the Taraweeh Salah. If he can't sit and he can't make it, then of course it is not to the level of farz. And therefore, if a person doesn't do it under those circumstances, that person will be excused. But if a person, just out of sheer laziness, or worse even, just because he doesn't care about it, he does it, then that is a mahroom, a person who is deprived. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who is deprived of the goodness of Ramadan, he is deprived of all goodness. So that is as far as the status of the Taraweeh Salah is concerned. It gives us an opportunity to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to listen to the entire Quran Sharif during the month of Ramadan. It gives us all of these wonderful opportunities. Can you imagine how close a person will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he has to adhere to these great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Mufti Sahab, there's an increasing trend of people that are performing Taraweeh, but they're only performing 8 rakats of Taraweeh Salah.
That is a sad reality. And the fact of the matter is that Taraweeh Salah has been 20 rakat from the time of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In fact, they are even narrations that have been mentioned in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, wherein it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh. The ummah around the world, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, right until the end of the 12th century, all performed 20 rakats. And ulama have mentioned that, you know, show us a place in the world where less than 20 rakats of Taraweeh Salah were performed right until the end of the 12th century. In fact, if you have to read the ahadith, the narrations, it is mentioned in a hadith that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed yusalli fi Ramadan 20 rak'atan wal witr. He performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh and he performed the witr salah thereafter, right? And even like the muhaddithin, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, he mentioned that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were unanimous. They reached a consensus on the fact that Taraweeh Salah is 20 rakats. Many a times this 20 rakat is attributed to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that it was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu who introduced 20 rakats of Taraweeh. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what happened was that during his time, he organized Taraweeh Salah to be performed because he came to the masjid and he saw some person is performing Salah on his own, the other person is performing Taraweeh individually, one person is performing with another person. So he said, how good it would be if I gather them with one imam. So one person performs the Salah, the Taraweeh, and everyone performs behind him. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu regulated it in that manner, he organized it in that manner, and he made Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhum the imam, and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the Muhajirin and the Ansar, they performed Taraweeh behind Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and at that point in time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Taraweeh Salah would be 20 rakats. Now obviously Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum would not declare it to be 20 rakats of his own. He must have been witness to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, and he must have seen that, and based on that now, he said that Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhum should lead the Taraweeh Salah for the people with 20 rakats. And all these Muhajirin, the Sahaba, the Muhajirin and the Ansar, they were behind him, and none of them rejected or said that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum has done something wrong. Whereas in those times, even the slightest bit, if a person had to deviate from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there's a famous hadith where a lady got up and reprimanded Hazrat Umar in the middle of the khutbah and said, "Oh Umar, you're going against what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said." And here, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed, declared Taraweeh Salah to be 20 rakats. He appointed Ubay ibn Ka'ab as the imam, and they carried on like that for centuries and centuries. All the a'imma, the four imams, are unanimous that Taraweeh Salah is 20 rakats, and they perform Taraweeh Salah like that throughout the world. The only difference of opinion was that of one view of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, and that also was based on the amal and the actions of the people of Medina, and that was not of 8 rakats of Taraweeh, that was actually that Taraweeh Salah should be 36 rakats of Taraweeh and 3 rakats of witr thereafter. So almost 40 rakats of Taraweeh Salah was going to be made. But by and large, the ummah was unanimous and reached a consensus on the fact that the Taraweeh Salah is 20 rakats of Taraweeh. And you just have to look around, let's just look at the Haramain in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. How many rakats of Taraweeh are performed there? It's 20 rakats of Taraweeh that are performed there. So where is this 8 rakats coming from? some mentioned people tend to use the hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in which she mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 8 rakat of salah at night and 3 rakat of witr, so he performed 11 rakat. But the 4 imams and the ulama, they have understood this hadith of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they attribute it that these 8 rakats and 3 rakats of witr relate to the tahajjud salah, which is separate from the taraweeh salah. The tahajjud salah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform in the latter part of the night, so that was separate from the taraweeh salah. The taraweeh salah is 20 rakats. And to top it all, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh, he mentions in his Fatawa Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that قد ثبت أن أبي بن كعب رضي الله تعالى عنه يقوم بالناس 20 ركعة ويوتر بثلاث. That it is established that Ubay ibn Ka'ab, the glorious Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Ubay ibn Ka'ab to recite a surah to you. If I'm not mistaken, it might have been Surah Bayyina. Ask Ubay ibn Ka'ab to recite Surah Bayyina to you. And this glorious Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh with the Sahaba, وَيُوتِرُ بِثَلَاثٍ, and he performed 3 rakats of witr after that. فَرَآ أَكْثَرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَانِ. So this is, you know, Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioning that most of the ulama are of the view and of the opinion that أَنَّ ذَلِكَ هُوَ السُّنَّةِ, this 20 rakat is sunnah, لِأَنَّهُ قَامَ بَيْنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَلَمْ يُنْكِرْهُ مُنْكِرٌ. He stood with the muhajirin and the ansar with 20 rakat, and no one objected to those 20 rakat. In fact, everyone condoned it, everyone accepted it, and it carried on as a global practice of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for almost 12 centuries it continued, until some people started creating based on, I would say, misunderstandings, started claiming to believe that Taraweeh Salah is only 8 rakats. In fact, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah alayh, he also mentions in the kitab the number of people amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, amongst the A'imma Mujtahideen, amongst the Ummah. He mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif that the vast majority of the Ummah, the overwhelming majority of the Imam, all accept that Taraweeh Salah is 20 rakats. And when he said vast, it was not that maybe one or two people or a few people believed that it was 8 rakats. In fact, he was indicating towards the view of Imam Malik, where according to his one view, Taraweeh Salah was 36 rakats, in fact, and not 20 rakats. So it was even more than 20 rakats of Taraweeh. Then, Maulana and the listeners of Radio Islam as well, if you look at the name Taraweeh, we mentioned it just a little bit earlier, it means it's the plural of the form Tarweeha. Tarweeha means a break. The Sahaba used to take a break after every 4 rakats. If you are performing only 8 rakats of Taraweeh, there was only one break coming in between. So then it should have been called Tarweeha. Why was it called Taraweeh? The reason that it was called Taraweeh, because there was multiple breaks after every 4 rakats. It was definitely not just one break in between which would have made it an 8 rakat of Taraweeh. And it is an accepted fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يجتهد في رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exert himself in ibadat during the month of Ramadan so much that he would not exert himself in other months of the year. or in other times of the year. And it is a known fact also that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform 8 rakats of tahajjud salah throughout the year. Sometimes 8 rakats, sometimes 12 rakats. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform tahajjud salah at other times of the year. So if he was doing that in Ramadan also, then what was the meaning of the hadith that he would exert himself during the month of Ramadan and do more ibadat than he would do in other times of the year? That the meaning of that is that he would do something extra during the month of Ramadan, referring to this Taraweeh Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards that which is right and correct. May He protect us from ifrat and tafreet, from exaggeration or leniency and being too lax and lazy about issues. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a. O Allah, show us what is right as right and correct and allow us to follow it. Wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba, and allow us to see what is incorrect and false as false, and protect us from that.
Some people complete their khatam in 3 nights or 10 nights, etc., and feel that they have fulfilled the responsibility. Thereafter, they are not regular in performing the Taraweeh Salah. Is this in order that after 3 nights, then there's no, what you call it, they don't have to read Taraweeh Salah, or after 10 nights, then they get laxed?
Look, the issue is that there are actually two separate sunnats of the Taraweeh Salah, or two separate objectives of the Taraweeh Salah. One is performing the Taraweeh Salah throughout the month of Ramadan. For every night during the month of Ramadan, we perform the Taraweeh Salah, and that in itself is the emphasized sunnah. Whether one completes a recitation of the Quran Sharif or not, that is one sunnah. Mm-hmm. A separate sunnah to that is to complete, to make one khatam, one completion of the recitation of the Holy Quran during the Taraweeh Salah. That is a separate now sunnah. So, and therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qama Ramadan, whoever stands up in Taraweeh during the month of Ramadan, the full month of Ramadan, iman wa ihtisab, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. He didn't say, whoever completes one Quran in Taraweeh, then ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. He didn't say it like that. In other words, performing the Taraweeh Salah throughout the month of Ramadan is a separate sunnah and sign of deen and Islam and the month of Ramadan, and performing the Taraweeh Salah and completing a Holy Quran, a recitation, a complete recital of the Holy Quran during the Taraweeh Salah, that is a separate act of virtue. Just completing the Salah in 3 nights or 7 nights or 10 nights, first of all, the recitation of the Holy Quran, we must do justice to the recitation by performing it with tajweed. It's not about just rushing through the Holy Quran and reading it at very, very fast paces. It's about reciting so that the people behind you can understand and each word of the recital of the Holy Quran, each zabar there, fatha, dhamma, kasra, all of that must be absolutely clear. Thereafter, if a person stands long in Taraweeh, the thing is, in our times, it's all about what time did you finish Taraweeh? So, and people get happy and excited if they finish Taraweeh at their masjid 5 minutes earlier or 2 minutes earlier. That's not the spirit of the month of Ramadan. The discussions go on. What time you finish? No, we finish 7:45. What time you finish? No, we finish 8:00. Hey, that Imam Sahib pulled it. So that's not the spirit of the Taraweeh Salah. The spirit of the Taraweeh Salah is that a person is standing up in ibadat. He is standing up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with complete concentration, with dedication. He's trying to understand what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling him. And therefore, it's a good idea for the musallis also that before the Taraweeh Salah, during the day or at night after Taraweeh Salah, for the next night now, try and understand, take an authentic copy of the translation of the Quran Sharif and try and understand what is it that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is going to tell me. Wallah, you'll find a difference in your engagement then in the Taraweeh Salah, because you will be engaging with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll be understanding what He wants from you. You'll be understanding what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants from us. So therefore we should try and do that in abundance. But do not rush through the Taraweeh Salah. Perform it for the entire month of Ramadan. Yes, if a person did complete the Quran Sharif in 7 nights, 10 nights, 15 nights, then that doesn't mean for the balance of the month of Ramadan that there's no Taraweeh. It means that he must continue with his Taraweeh Salah. Alright, if he wants to make it less, then he can perform, make the recital shorter, or you can go to different masjid, listen to different readers performing the Taraweeh Salah. But to cut it out completely, that is not something which is a wise thing to be doing during the month of Ramadan.
Two more questions for the Hafiz. In the lead up to Ramadan, is there any preparation that the Hafiz should be engaging in, or should a Hafiz have a routine that is maintained throughout the year?
Of course, there should be a routine that is maintained throughout the year, and that routine has to be increased. The recital, the door, all of that has to be increased as the month of Ramadan approaches. But there should be a routine. It can't be that a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, you tell him to read any other position. If every year, if last year he read the first position, then this year also he wants to read the first position in Taraweeh. In fact, each hafiz should be reading 20 rakats of Taraweeh on his own. And that's how it should be. As Ubay ibn Ka'f, he performed the 20 rakats of Taraweeh on his own. Nevertheless, even if that's not possible because of the number of ufar, that alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, our country has now. So if that is not possible, but it shouldn't be that a person is a specialist and he only learns his part, his four rakats he's going to make. He should revise the entire portion that needs to be recited in the Taraweeh. That means the full para, or 1 1/4 paras, or 1 1/4 juz, the entire amount. So even if the hafiz before him or the hafiz after him can't perform the Taraweeh due to some ill health or something, then this person must be ready to take over. And that happens when a person is regular with his recitals throughout the year. It is not difficult for a hafiz to recite 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 paras during the day, every single day of the year. It's not difficult for a hafiz to do that, but provided he programs himself.
Gee.
You must program yourself. You must say that this is something that you want to achieve. And wallah, if a person programs himself, then there's no limit to what a human being cannot achieve. It doesn't need a lot of hard work. It doesn't need mehnat. But what it does need is himmat. It needs courage. It needs programming. I often give the example that if we have to set our washing machines on a light rinse, if we set it on light rinse, do you think that washing machine is going to do a thorough wash? It's not going to do the thorough wash because we programmed it to do a light rinse. Now, if we're going to program ourselves that, look, you know what, every day we must only read quarter para of Quran Sharif, or we mustn't read anything throughout the year, only just about 2 weeks before Ramadan we'll start learning our parts, then that's what we programmed ourselves to do. But if we program ourselves and we make a plan, put a program in place, that as far as of the Quran Sharif we want to recite 2 juz a day of the Quran Sharif and complete two Quran Sharifs every single month, then you'll be able to achieve it. There's no such thing as not achieving it. And it's simple, it's easy. The minute your door becomes correct, while you're driving, while you're walking, while you can continue to recite the Quran Sharif, but it's all about programming and what you want to do. Where there is a will, there is a way to do it. There is a way to achieve it. And therefore, there should be a program for the Hufaz. If the Hufaz who are listening, if we don't have a program up till now, then we must put in a program and allow that program to continue after the month of Ramadan as well. And for those Hufaz who, mashallah, have a program, then now 2 or 3 weeks before the month of Ramadan, that program should be increasing. We should be becoming more and more prepared for the month of Ramadan and for standing on the musalla and leading the the community in Tarawih, it's such a great honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they make dua and they supplicate before Him and they say, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Oh Allah, make us an imam for the muttaqeen. Make us an imam for the muttaqeen. So if a person is an imam for the muttaqeen, can you imagine what a great honor it is? There's no thing about wriggling your way out of performing Taraweeh or planning an escape from Taraweeh just because a person doesn't know his path or his door is weak. This is the perfect opportunity to improve your door, and we should work towards that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy, provided we also show and make an effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us towards that.
Marana, last question. With just a few days left for Ramadan, is there still time for Hufaz to engage in some sort of preparation for the Taraweeh Salah?
Of course there is time to engage in preparation for the Taraweeh Salah. A Hafiz of the Quran Sharif, even if he's forgotten his door, right? But the very fact of the matter is that it is there somewhere in his mind because he's gone through it. And with dedication, and if he wants to achieve it, that whole door can come back to him very, very easy and simply, but provided he dedicates himself. There were people amongst our pious predecessors not very far ago, like Mawlana Salimullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who just passed away recently, maybe a few months back. If I'm not mistaken, it's mentioned about him that he completed his hifz of the Quran Sharif during the month of Ramadan. That means where he went to after coming back, people considered him to be a Hafiz, but he wasn't a Hafiz. So, but he felt so bad that people want me to read the Quran Sharif in Taraweeh to recite. So what he used to do was, during the day he used to learn one para of Quran Sharif, sabak this one. And he used to perform it at night in the Taraweeh Salah. And like that, in 1 month, he completed his hifz of the Taraweeh, of the Quran Sharif. In one single month, a person not living 12, 13 centuries ago, living now in our time, he just passed away 2 or 3 months ago. This person completed his hifz of the Quran Sharif in one single month. So if it is a Hafiz of the Quran Sharif, and he has just forgotten his door, how much more easier should it be for him then to recover his Quran Sharif? But there should be concentration, there should be dedication, there should be a will and an urge to bring it back and to learn. There should be dedication of time, and there should be abstention from sins, because abstention from sins and vices and evils will help your power of retention, and it will help you to retain the Quran Sharif as well. So there is no giving up in this path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's still 3 weeks to go, and I would encourage every single Hafiz out there, sit down, make a plan for yourself, and regain whatever you know of the Quran Sharif and perform it in Taraweeh Salah. It's such a great honor, such a great privilege to be the Imam of the Muttaqeen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us one and all to that which is correct and protect us from that which is evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach the holy month of Ramadan, to take maximum and full benefit from the holy month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shortcomings and forgive our shortcomings as well.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Inshallah, after the break, we'll continue with Maulana Yusuf Azwad from Springs. Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for that input, very important. And inshallah, after the break, we'll continue with Maulana Yusuf on the topic of Taraweeh Salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program. The time now is exactly 11:15. With me online, I have is Maulana Yusuf Azwad. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marana, before the break, we had Mufti Shafiq Jakurasap and we were discussing about the Taraweeh Salah, about the position of the Taraweeh Salah and the importance of performing it. And then we also did about the increasing trend of people in today's time. And we also did about the people in today's time, the increasing trend of people performing 8 rakats. And thereafter, we did about some people completing their khatam in 3 nights and 10 nights. What is their responsibility? Have they fulfilled their responsibility? And we got the answer to that. And thereafter, we see that people after reading for 3 nights or for 10 nights, they say that they have completed the khatam, they don't come to the masjid in order to perform the Tarawih Salah. And Mufti Sahib mentioned about how important it is that throughout the 30 days that the Tarawih Salah is a sunnah for every night. And thereafter, we also, regarding the Hufaz, we asked Mufti Sahib about how important it is that a person should maintain a routine of making dua throughout the year. And even with a few days left, Mufti Sahib said that it's still not yet too late for a person to make a dua of whatever he has forgotten. Mawlana Yusuf, many Hufaz drop out of performing Tarawih simply because they feel they cannot handle the nerves. How can they overcome that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد I'd like to say السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all the listeners. Alhamdulillah, we know that as you mentioned, Ramadan is on the doorstep, and you know, many hafizes at this particular time, they are going to be performing the Tarawih Salam. They are going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to be leading the Muslim Ummah in Salah. As we know that, end of the day, it's imamah. A person makes imamat, and the greatest imam, person that is the greatest imam, was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, we take our cue from that. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, was the first imam, and how the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Sahaba in salah. However, Tarawih, we know that many hufaz become. Suddenly you have to become an imam, and you got to stand and you got to lead people in salah. And this creates a lot of nerves for a person. You know, there was one person that once said to me that if I have to stand on the musalla and recite inna athayna aloud, I think I will make a mistake in it. And that is very, very true. Many hufaz will feel quite pressured at that particular time. And they feel that, you know what, I'm going to be standing in the masjid, or I'm going to be standing in a musalla somewhere. People will be listening to me read Quran. Although a person may know his Quran at times, yet he'll get nerves at that particular time. And they just feel that, you know, I need to drop out. I cannot, you know, I cannot cope. Well, at the end of the day, a person needs to remember the great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed a person with. I mean, the Quran that a person has memorized, it benefits him, but it is also a share for the ummah in that particular Quran that he has. And we have many hufaz in our communities, unlike the situation where a few days ago, no hufaz at all. And far away, you know, people used to invite people to come and perform salah, you know, from far, you know, from distant places. Myself also, I used to go a lot to Botswana, in particular Francistown. I used to go and perform my Tarawih salah there, because they had no hufaz at that particular time. But now they don't even have to, you know, invite anybody. They have their own homegrown hufaz. So a person needs to realize the responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him with that jalsa that came, you know, with the jalsa, and the grand feeling that a person had when a person became a hafiz. Another part of it is that a person now has a priceless treasure in his bosom, and that priceless treasure needs to be shared with the ummah. Will definitely benefit from it. So a person can overcome these nerves, of course. It's mind over matter type of thing. Another thing is also what nerves are nerves. A person will always go through stress. We know there is good stress, there is bad stress. Good stress sometimes, good stress when a person, you know, he wants to do something and, you know, adrenaline pumps in that person's bloodstream. It's, you know, before Tarawih, your hands are sweaty sometimes and you're feeling a bit nervous. And, you know, your good emotions will take charge of you. Your adrenaline will pump in your body. Cortisol will be released into your bloodstream. And that will finally make, you know, cause you to achieve great heights. So sometimes a person just needs to overcome that. It's like a speech a person needs to give in the class. When we were in school, a person needs to stand up in front of his class and say something. And of course, there's nerves sometimes a person feels. But when a person knows what he's going to be doing firstly, then those nerves can be overcome very quickly. But if a person doesn't know what he's doing, unfortunately, then those nerves are going to become a problem for him. So yes, while there are nerves, to overcome those nerves, first a person needs to know their Quran. Secondly, a person is mind over matter. And shaitan also over us that, you know, I don't read Tarawih, don't recite Tarawih, you don't have to read this year, try next year, it's so much of a headache. You got to work, you got to study, all these type of things, you got wife, you got children, all these type of things do play up. And actually, a person can overcome the nerves of his, but because he has so many other considerations with them to give up our Taraweeh. So not performing Taraweeh and dropping out is definitely not an option for everybody. Just because you cannot handle your nerves. Your nerves is actually mind over matter. If a person, inshallah, knows the Quran and a person is prepared, then those nerves will be handled very, very easily by that person.
Ji, ma, one question. How many years you reading Taraweeh for?
Oh, I think from maybe 1994.
And
I would say 1992, 1993, around there.
Ji.
I completed my hijj in 1993. And then I did door, of course. So the year that I completed my hijj, I probably started reading Taraweeh. And then I went a few years to Botswana, to Francistown, to perform my Taraweeh Salah there. And then as Imam in Springs Masjid, I used to perform under the auspices of Maulana Abbas Alisa. Mm. And now I'm in Rhineswood. So there also, alhamdulillah.
Gee.
So you constantly perform. If there was no Ramadan, I can guarantee you, there would be many Hufaz that would have forgotten the Quran. But Ramadan is a time for us to actually memorize, to revise your door and revise your Quran and Kareem.
Well, from personal experience, I know that when on the first night of Ramadan, no matter that I'm the Imam also of the Masjid, when you're standing the first time that you're reading the Taraweeh, there is nerves going through, even though I've been reading for about 14 years or 15 years. So Marana, tell me that for so many years, Marana, that you've been reading, definitely there's nerves that comes into you also.
Definitely, of course, the first few days, you feel, but especially the first night, you feel quite jittery. And the Taraweeh goes a bit slow, you're more cautious. You feel that, you're sweating at your palms and you feel a bit butterflies. Although you do Imamat every day in the Masjid, it's just, I think, also the awe of the Quran al-Kareem, the awe of the night. I would
100%.
Say the awe of the night is greater. You're in the month of Ramadan, suddenly, when that great amount of rahmat is also being showered upon everybody during that particular month. And now, you just feel... And also, sometimes you have this fear of failure. I don't want to fail. You have that fear in you. But, of course, I think every Hafiz, I think those that are reading Taraweeh for maybe 40 years also, they are so such ulama that are reading Taraweeh for such a lengthy time. They also, they feel first night, I just feel a bit nervous.
Mm.
And, but once it starts moving and the first night is over, the first roza, you keep that first fast. And after that, you see everything starts settling down, and alhamdulillah, from there onwards, and everything takes shape.
Marana, is it possible to overlearn, that is, to learn so much that your brains become fatigued, and as a result, a person ends up making many mistakes?
That is possible. I would say also your nerves, if a person, generally this happens when somebody doesn't really know the Quran very well. Or a person is very doesn't have confidence in themselves regarding the Quran al-Kareem. So you maybe haven't done door sufficiently, or you've done door, but throughout the year also you haven't really paid attention to your Quran al-Kareem. And what tends to happen now, you tend to overlearn. If you look at in Surah Qiyam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, something is effective. Don't constantly try and remember. It is our responsibility to make you remember. We will make you remember the Quran al-Kareem. It is our responsibility. Remember, tahfiz and protection of the Quran is Allah's responsibility. It's not the Hafiz's responsibility. Your responsibility is to learn. So a person learns as much as he knows it. Once you know it, leave it alone. Because if you keep learning that same thing consistently throughout the day, when you come in on a musalla, you don't know, you start losing... you actually start losing your footing. And that is very, very important that a person needs to remember that don't become tired before you're going to read Taraweeh. Your brain actually becomes fatigued. Now you can't think what you are doing. It's very important to keep your perspective. Everybody has a different pattern and a style of learning. And Mona, you'll bear with me. Every person has a different way of learning. Some people would learn in sequence. Other people would learn... By visualizing through their minds. Every person learns in a different way. And whatever is your way that has suited you throughout your hijj or throughout your time that has suited you, and that's how you memorize, and how you remember your work, how you remember the ayat, how you remember the rukus, how you remember the page numbers, a person needs to learn according to that. My advice would be that, if a person the night before the Taraweeh, assume a person is reading four rakats of Taraweeh Salah, you know, in a masjid or wherever, and he's got to read the second quarter or the first quarter of a particular para every night. And after the first 4 nights, he's got the first quarter. So what he does is that if a person, one is also, this also helps with nerves, one. And secondly, also it will help you so that your mind doesn't become fatigued. Before Ramadan, if you know where your position of reciting is, and if you do a quick door of that, and somebody listens to you also, that is before Ramadan, which you said, like how you mentioned, there's still time. You shouldn't throw in the towel and say it's too late. See if you can get a place to recite Quran, or you get a place to recite Taraweeh. Even if you get 4 rakats, you got from now till the 29th of Shaban. Let's cut it a bit shorter. Let's say until 27th of Ramadan or 28th of Ramadan, you can prepare. So if you take a quarter para, whatever your part is for Taraweeh, you got your 2 weeks, you got your whatever part you are reading, learn that quarter now, recite that quarter to somebody around you. And whoever is there, let them listen to it. It can be, you know, somebody at home. If a person is an adult and you've got your own children, ask your children to listen to you. Ask your wife to listen to you. The wife generally after marriage, they become the best door testers. They become the best door testers that you can get. And I think every husband, before he reads Taraweeh, he must read to his wife. You know, alhamdulillah. So that's a good sign of husband and wife also sharing. Oh, you got an ustad, you can go and you can read to your ustad. But try and read that quarter or do one door of it now. Then when the time of Ramadan comes, the night before the day you are reading, assume you got the first quarter to read tomorrow night, you finished Taraweeh today, you got the first quarter of 6 para to read tomorrow night. So what you do is that night before, make a door of it, learn it. Learn at that particular time. Learn before, because now, alhamdulillah, in the southern hemisphere, we know that it is winter and it's sufficient time when you come in from Taraweeh. Take time out and learn it. Take half an hour, learn your work. Know your work that night. And in the morning after Fajr, do a door of it. Now you're doing door, now you memorize. You memorize, you did your learning already. So during the day, maybe you've read it once or twice after Fajr, maybe you've got somebody testing you. You can continue with your day and every now and then go through it, meaning that, you know, after Zohar, Salah, and now before Asr, maybe you're going to read to somebody, you know, now it's the final preparation, so you go through it at that particular time. But keep your mind fresh also today. If a person begins to learn after Fajr, and he learns now all the time, and generally this happens a lot during, on Sundays. Hafiz is, you know, he's at home, and today he feels, I'm going to read my best tonight. And he overlearns his work. By overlearning your work, somehow, everything just starts eluding you. Everything starts escaping you. You know, you're putting your foot here and it's not right. You're doing this, you're reading this ayat and it's not right. Why? Because you actually have fatigued yourself. So, stressing Taraweeh time, people stress when they become tired. You are so tired at the end of the day that you cannot read your Quran. How are you going to stand on the musalla and read? So, of course, you shouldn't overlearn. Learn sufficiently. Maybe those suggestions which I've given is one type. Maybe there's other people that have other ways of learning also. You know, I know Rufaz, the whole day they won't bother about it. After Asr, they'll take the Quran and read through it. And, you know, their door is so solid that they can actually do that. But others, generally, somebody's got to go over the door a few times, look into the Quran, and then after they read it out of memory, but also consistently reading it, you actually tire yourself. So you can't even keep your perspective of learning in your mind when you have to read the Taraweeh and that particular time when you're standing on a musalla.
Well, in today's time, we see that many masajid, you know, you normally ask a person what time you came out, and normally the masjid came out 2 minutes even before the other masjid, they're the ones that are getting full. So how would we describe a good pace to recite the Quran in Taraweeh?
Well, this type of attitude, unfortunately, they exist in our society. Some people, they don't want to go to the masjid. They'll read the entire Ramadan. They'll read every salah throughout the year in the masjid. But when it comes to Taraweeh, suddenly they want to go and read in somebody's house, or they want to go and read somewhere else, in some other place. Why? Because they feel that the masjid will take too long, or Taraweeh in this place is too long. And we tend to do that a lot. And this is a shaitani ploy also. Shaitan, inshallah, in Ramadan can't get hold of us, so he already makes us make up our mind now before Ramadan. If you know what, Taraweeh takes very long here, let me go and look for a quick place to read Taraweeh. As a result, there is a lot of pressure placed on, you know, us. If you know what, we got to finish our Taraweeh. Let's start early. We need to finish our Taraweeh. If we're reading Taraweeh Salam with the aim of finishing, if your objective of Taraweeh Salah is the aim of finishing, then what is going to happen is that you are going to read in that manner. And you must remember, it's a responsibility of Hufaz. When you are standing there, the responsibility of the Imam, you know, when Ramadan approaches, you know, you'll be selected to read Tarawih. And, you know, you will be appointed as an Imam, like I mentioned, in the place of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every Hafiz suddenly becomes an Imam. And that person who performs Salah in such a manner that the congregation is pleased with him will have a mountain of musk on the day of Qiyamah. This is a hadith which is mentioned in Tirmidhi. Further, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also made dua for the hidayat and guidance of Imams. So this is an honor, but more than it is a tremendous responsibility that is there. And the Imam needs to remember that the person reciting Tarawih Salah needs to remember that he is communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mawlana, we need to understand that when you are communicating with, in this world, if you have to communicate, a person needs to communicate to a king or president, or a person has to stand in court and he needs to, you know, say something, you'll do it in the most articulate way. A person will never be haphazard of how he's speaking. You'll be doing it in the most articulate way. Even if you need to give a speech somewhere, you'll go to somebody else and prepare the speech for me. Look if the grammar is right. You know, I remember a few years ago, Mawlana Basri Jinnah mentioned to us, you know, was Amir of the Jamiat. He says that at that particular, that once they had to go and visit Nelson Mandela when he was, you know, when he was president at a particular time, and they went there. And they had to actually, you know, prepare something that when they spoke to him, they actually had to be, you know, it had to be, the grammar had to be correct, and they had to speak in a particular dignified manner. I remember mentioning this once, you know, to us. We were sitting in informal discussion and he mentioned it, that how they had to prepare themselves. So in the same light, when I mentioned to go and speak to people, if you want to speak to a high profile person in this world, how a person will articulate himself. Imagine a person that is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mona, you know this. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when a person stands and he recites Surah Fatiha, any person, an Imam also does it, or any person reciting Salah, when he recites Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he says, إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى حَمَدَنِي عَبْدِي. And Allah ta'ala says that my servant has praised me. And when you say the second ayah, الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَجَدَنِي عَبْدِي, that my servant has glorified me. And when a person recites the third ayah, and a person says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servant has extolled my praises greatly. And when a person recites the fourth ayah, that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي, this is between me and my servant. Now whatever he asks for, I am going to give him. That my servant, what he going to ask me now for, I'm going to give him. So that communication, why is it haram for any person, let alone the Imam, to eat in Salah, to talk in Salah, to do anything that is contrary to, you know, that is not considered part of Salah, break Salah. For example, a person, you know, decides to chew in Salah, or a person turns away in Salah, or he answers somebody's Salam in Salah, his Salah will actually break. Why? When you say break, it means that he has broken his communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like now when I came on air also, as you're introducing me, the call dropped. Our communication broke. So if you do anything contrary to Salah, your communication breaks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the like manner, when we are communicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be articulate when we are doing it. The tajweed needs to be correct. The Salah means the communication with Allah. It must be performed in a dignified manner. So the speed of recitation must not be so fast. Allah says, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. We reveal the Quran in stages, slowly, slowly. And the ulama also say, read Quran slowly. But in Tarawih, of course, you pick up the pace of it. Person reads more in a hadar style. Now, what is hadar? When a person recites Quran, you can read slowly qira'ah. You know, for those who don't understand the term, a person recites tarti, where he reads slowly, you know, you listen to Sheikh Basri, they said, they read slowly Quran. Then you get something which is called hadar. Hadar means to read in a pace that is a bit faster. A faster pace, but yet a person is clear in his recital. You do not compromise on the tajweed of this. You remember you're communicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your words must be clearly heard. The recitation must be absolutely clear. The rules of tajweed must be adhered to. Who said that when you're reading Taraweeh, you've got to forget about it? You've got to forget about your tajweed laws, and you've got to forget about everything that you are doing. No, every mud must be made, the hunnas, the ikhfas, all that must be adhered to, as well as a person reciting, you know, the makharij needs to be correct. Because we must remember, it is utmost importance, pronunciation of the letters is of utmost importance, and sometimes due to high-speed reading, there's, you know, one or two clips that I saw recently where people, you know, they read Quran as though they are horse riding. I mean, it's, you know, it just must go. Whether you understand, you know, nowadays they should say, Ya'lamun ta'lamun. Person, people at the back just said, Ya'lamun Allahu Akbar, Ta'lamun Allahu Akbar. The speed needs to be there. Yes, you're reading with speed. You're reading a bit faster. But at the same time, the letters are pronounced clearly. People enjoy what you're doing. Remember, the Musallis must enjoy what you are doing. They mustn't just be taken along, Maulana Abbas Ali in Springs, once he was given the Hufaz, he was, you know, he called the Hufaz, and he was given as Nasir. And he's saying, read Quran with feeling. Don't go like you are cutting grass. You know, a person cutting grass, you just move the lawnmower along. You don't read Quran like you're mowing down the words of the Quran. Read with feeling. Read the makharij correctly. Because if you do not pronounce your letters correctly, or you change, you know, a qaf for a kaf, you actually change the meaning of the Quran. We know the word qalb means heart, the word kalb means dog. Now you actually change the words of the Quran. Well, Dilamit Saab mentioned one day, he said that, you know, if a person doesn't read a qaf and kaf properly, he said, on the day of Qiyamah, man atallah bi qalbin salim, that person that comes with a sound heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person recites that incorrectly, and he says, man atallah bi qalbin salim, what are you going to do with a submissive dog on the day of Qiyamah? That doesn't work at all. So it is an ibadah. Taraweeh is just it's a salah. It is a communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That particular speed of recitation, as well as other aspects, need to be adhered to. Read correctly. Read, and people must understand what you are reading. So that, and we, you know, little does a hafiz realize that people behind you must enjoy what you are doing. They must enjoy it. They must enjoy your Quran. When they enjoy your Quran, du'as from their heart, Allah will make your Taraweeh easier for you. Remember, their pleasure to please them and to read Taraweeh as fast as possible, because you come in 10 minutes earlier, is just not on. Actually kill the spirit of Ramadan, actually kill the spirit of Taraweeh with it.
Shimon, that was my next question. Some hufaz, they read so excessively fast that the intention is drawing more musallis to their masjid. Is this a justifiable reason? And we see that it's not justifiable.
I didn't hear the question.
We say that some hufaz, they read so excessively fast with the intention of drawing more musallis to their masjid. And is this a justifiable reason?
No, definitely not. You know, unfortunately, we get this. That when you got a few venues in an area, and we say, you know, I need to choose. People must choose where they want to go to. So let's read excessively fast, and you're going to draw more musallis. That should never be a criteria of a person that, you know, why I'm reading Taraweeh. So your whole reason why you're reading Taraweeh is actually wrong. Your Taraweeh is to draw more people because you want to read absolutely fast. Alhamdulillah, there are some hufaz that Allah Ta'ala has given them barakah. And they read fast, they read with pace, but yet people understand what they're doing and it's enjoyable. So to make this a prime, you know, prime reason, let's read Taraweeh fast, let's pick up our pace of Taraweeh so that we can draw more Muslims. It's just not on. I mean, another thing is that we should never ever have venues that are competing with the masjid in the area. That, you know, we'll read Taraweeh faster. So people will leave the presence of the masjid and they'll come to us. That should never be the objective. But you know what, we must have the bigger crowd. And you get people actually, hey, you know, today we have so many people. You know, we have so many serfs. You know, we got more serfs than the masjid also. In the masjid, they take their time and they read Taraweeh. It's not taking the time and reading Taraweeh. Masjid has its priorities also. At the same time, we try and read Taraweeh so fast. Sometimes the masajid also. We read Taraweeh so fast, the person looks at the clock, he says, you know, today I took 20 minutes, tomorrow I must take 15 minutes. As a result, we mentioned that you end up making mistakes, one is. And secondly, is that you read in such a manner that instead of the Quran becoming a means of rahmat for you, the Quran will actually curse you. You know, because you are reading it in such an unbecoming way. So it will never ever be a reason, you know, to read excessively fast with the intention of drawing more musallis should never ever be our reason. It is never a justifiable reason that why we are reciting Taraweeh. Taraweeh is a salah, like we mentioned. It needs to be read with consistent speed. It needs to be read with consistency. Person needs to read with dignity. You know, Imam is responsible. So if we keep all this in mind, We have mentioned it. That's the reason for Taraweeh. Taraweeh one is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khulafa'i Rasheedin, the Sahaba read this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to read, you know, to read Quran in our Taraweeh. And with all these, taking all these factors in mind, a person recites his Taraweeh with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to draw the mercy of the month of Ramadan, because Ramadan is the month of the Quran. Remember, the Quran, with sawm and fasting, a person cleanses himself. And so you get a tahliya, a person cleanses himself. Karikayf Sahib Rahmatullah mentions in his book that you get tahliya with fasting, it cleanses yourself. And how do you beautify yourself in Ramadan? Is you beautify yourself with you actually beautify tahliya is to cleanse yourself, and tahliya is a person now puts on, you know, a person beautifies himself, and he beautifies himself with the aspect of recitation of the Quran. So make the Quran a means of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a means of adornment and beautification for yourself as well.
See, Marana, what about those who fast? They have come accustomed to reciting at this fast pace. What can they do now to improve the clarity of their recitation? Because now they on that fast pace, and they only know how to read fast. So what can they do to lower the pace?
You know, your Ustamas have also told you, you know, that if you read fast, you'll always read fast. You'll never be able to read slow, because if you're going to read slow, you feel I'm going to make mistakes. And if a person reads slow when he learns his Quran initially, then they say when need be, you'll be able to pick up your pace and read faster. And this is a given. This is a true statement, you know, regarding a Hafiz and his Quran. A very, very true statement, I would say, for a Hafiz who is reciting his Quran. That, you know, if I learned in that way, after a person who has learned fast, he has learned fast his entire life, if he wants to slow down, he needs to sit with his Quran and revisit it in a sense that, you know what, he needs to learn to read slowly. When you read slowly, a person will enjoy his own reading. Sometimes we read so fast, we don't even enjoy our own reading. It's to get done, like we mentioned. So a person needs to sit, he needs to take the Quran, he needs to take, you know, he needs to look at his whatever he's going to recite and learn it slowly. Get in a habit of reading slowly. So get out of the habit. To break the habit is going to take a while. It's going to take quite a doing. To get out of the habit of reciting fast, and you know, when a person begins to read slowly, and he actually has if you can get a tutor, a qari or somebody to listen to you reciting Quran slowly, it may take a bit of a while, but a person will have to do it. You'll have to practice to break that habit of reading fast. You read slowly, slowly with pace. What happens? Finally, you become accustomed and used to reading like that. And that notion of, if I read fast, I won't make mistakes. The moment I start reading slow, I make mistakes. Many of us have this in their mind. If I read fast, I won't make mistakes because I just go through it. And if I read slow, then I'm going to make a lot of mistakes because then I'm thinking what I'm reading. And we will, you know, we can identify it with it when we have to do the 29th, or rather the 22nd night when we're reading 23rd para, and it's the night of Yasin. Why do we? I made mistakes in Yasin also. I think that night also you get nerves. Man, you spoke about nerves early on. I think nerves are the 23rd night. There's a lot of nerves.
Because then everyone is there to pick out your mistakes. Then the whole masjid is there.
You know, I know some masjids actually announce, please don't take on masjid. Even when they come to Amma Para the last night, see, brothers, the imams are here. We have people taking on masjid. Please don't take on mistakes on the back. Now, what happens? Why is there? There's nerves. At that particular time, there's nerves. It happens. I made mistakes in Yasin also. And the reason is, of course, there's nerves. And Yasin, every day when we read, you know, you may be walking or driving home, and you say, every day I read this thing. And so, what, you know, the other surahs which are wazaif, every day you read it. Maybe after Maghrib you read your Surah Mulk, Surah Sajda, the Yasin you're reading in the morning while you're driving. I mean, sometimes you're coming from Masjid after Fajr Salah, you're reading your Yasin. And it just flows. Now when you have to read Taraweeh, you start thinking. Now when you start thinking, what happens? You start making mistakes. Or you start thinking, you know, now you start doubting yourself. And that happens. Now a person reads fast also, he's just reading. But now when he needs to think, when you read slow, you've got to start thinking. And now when you start thinking, then generally mistakes would come out. So a person needs to break that habit and read slowly. become accustomed to reading slowly. When you become accustomed to reading slowly, like I mentioned, inshallah you will enjoy your Taraweeh. And it will take some doing, but that, you know, in that way that you need to practice on it. And my suggestion is, don't practice now 2 weeks or 3 weeks before Ramadan, because it may not work for you. You decide, now I'm going to read slowly this year, and then you're going to go and, you know, sometimes you mustn't just break your system by this. You've got to practice. You've got to get somebody to tutor you so that you can improve your recitation of your Quran. You may have to read, but you're reading so fast and you need to slow down. So get somebody to tutor you. Sometimes listen to some CDs also. The Imams of the Haram, mashallah, they read slow. They read at a very good pace also. You can follow their recitation and read according to how they read. You know, that pace that they read, inshallah, you'll see that, you know, for a Hafiz, it'll be easier for him now to recite the Quran and Kareem with a medium pace, I would say, instead of reading it absolutely fast pace.
Ma, jazakallah for those wonderful advices. Any closing remarks, Maulana?
Inshallah, like I mentioned, that a person is greatly honored with the Taraweeh Salah, and it's a priceless treasure, and Allah Ta'ala has blessed you, blessed the Hafiz, what a priceless treasure that we have. The entire world, together with all its wealth, riches, cannot match even one verse of the Quran that a person has in his heart, and let alone the entire Quran, not even one. It's not even worth any you know, the riches of the world, the one ayah that a person has in his heart. So a person is a special person. A Hafiz is a special person. And in fact, in our lives also, if we know of Hafiz, they may be young, but if we can start addressing them by calling them Hafiz, a family member, call him by, you know, say Hafiz this and Hafiz that, it gives them a great sense of, you know, sense of well-being, a sense of enjoying the privilege that Allah Ta'ala has given him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said in a hadith, that verily Allah Ta'ala has family members amongst people. And who are Allah's family? The Sahaba asked, who are Allah's family? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ أَحْلِينَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah has family of... And the Sahaba asked, who is the family of Allah? Allah got no family. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the people of the Qur'an, they are the family of Allah and His special people. Meaning that dear Hafiz, you have become a special person in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has given, because of you, your parents' crowns to wear. Allah Ta'ala has given so much of privileges and honor to a person that has become a Hafiz. And it is a knowledge of Nubuwwah that a person has in his heart. So that, therefore, whilst a person is going to recite Taraweeh, we must remember that what we need to do is also, my Ustad, Abid Jizal Jassad, used to tell us that when Siddiq Ahmad Bandwi Rahmatullah Ali used to tell them that on the day of Qiyamah, his Ustad used to mention that on the day of Qiyamah, when a person will be told to read a Quran, also not only knowing your Quran is one part, but also a person's level will be raised by your Quran. So it's very important for a person to have the conduct of a Hafiz. You got the knowledge of the Anbiya, have the conduct of a Hafiz. You know, you shun evil habits. Don't go to places of sin. Keep away from company. Keep to the company of pious. Your character, your respect for your parents, your asatiza, your family members, the young and old. All this counts towards being a good Hafiz. Sometimes, you know, people say, what a good Hafiz in the town, or what a good Hafiz we know of. He may not be an alim, but his akhlaq is there. So we need to remember all of this. You know, maintaining that Islamic lifestyle and that high quality lifestyle before Ramadan and also after Ramadan. And during the month of Ramadan, to carry yourself well as a Hafiz. You know, Hufaz, sometimes they grow their beard for the month of Ramadan. And the day Eid comes, it's a sign of that Hafiz is gone. A person, he reads Taraweeh in the masjid, he's given an opportunity to read Taraweeh in the masjid, he's there every salah, mashallah, you know, correctly. The moment Eid comes, you don't even see that Hafiz anymore in the masjid, which is so sad. It's such a sad situation and something to lament about. So whilst we are going to be representing, or we're going to standing and leading congregations, Allah Ta'ala has given us all this responsibility. This little bit that dear Hafiz, always keep in mind the elevated status and position Allah has given you. Never forget that you are a member of Allah Ta'ala's family also. And you know, look after your actions. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps a Hafiz steadfast and grant you the best of the both worlds. And may Allah ta'ala enable the Hafiz and Hufaz. Allah makes easy for every person you know, his Quran during this month of Ramadan, enable the Hafiz to remain steadfast upon deen in the Quran, and he raise his ranks on the day of Qiyamah, keep the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and accept the intercession of the Quran in your favor. And also, you know, every day when we make dua, they say make dua for everybody, make one dua. They say when you make a dua for a person who is absent, an angel says, Walakam mithluk, walak, may Allah ta'ala give you the same. So make a dua, say Allah, whichever Hafiz is reading Quran, whichever Hafiz is making effort and standing on the musalla, from the first day, make this dua, Allah, make it easy for that person. Every Hafiz who stands on the musalla, Allah, make it easy for that person. You'll see an angel who say, Walakam mithluk, Allah will make your tarawih also easy for you. At the same time, make it, may Allah make it enjoyable for all of us. Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and it's the month of the Hafiz to enjoy the Quran. 1 month, Allah has given a Hafiz to enjoy the Quran. And throughout the year we make dua, but Ramadan, that is when we really cater to for our Quran. We put everything aside, it's only Quran, Quran, Quran. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many years to enjoy reciting the Quran, perfects our Quran for us also. And those that are behind us, may Allah ta'ala make it easy for them to stand and listen to us also, reward them fully. And also we will get the du'as from the bottom of their hearts if they enjoy reading Quran behind us, or they enjoy listening to the Quran and reading the salah behind us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullahu wa Yusuf Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum.
That brings us to the end of today's panel discussion with myself, Muhammad Bam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.